Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from Pastor Jessica Roth.
We seek mountaintops many, many times, but it's the valleys that he makes the flowers bloom in. And so let's look at our valleys today. Let's see what we do when we are living in a valley. How many of you understand that life doesn't just always have the highest highs and the lowest of lows? You're not going to live in tragedy forever. Maybe you've lost a loved one. Maybe you've gone through divorce. Maybe you've had a horrible car accident. Maybe you've gotten a bad report with some physical ailments. Whatever it is, those are tragedies. Those are things that can take you out and tear you down. But you don't have to stay in those moments. And then there's the mountaintop experience where you are more than a conqueror. You've seen victory. You've seen answered prayers, and they're amazing, and God has done them. But most of the time, you live in the valley. And how do we live in the valley as women and do it beautifully so that we champion God's cause, so that we love people bigger, and so that we are not crabby and hard to be around the whole time? Can I get an amen? So this is what we're going to learn today. So if you're taking notes, steps to doing life well in the valley. Number one, make time for God. Your whole day depends on it. When we do not allow ourselves to set aside time, I myself am very, very, very guilty of this. It gets busy. People come at me from every point of view. I feel like my time is not my own. I don't know what I'm doing. And all of a sudden, I've realized it's like 11 o'clock at night. I'm too tired, and I haven't spent intimacy and time with the Lord. And then I've snapped that day, and I've gotten crabby, and I've said things I regret. And you go to bed thinking, I wish I wouldn't have said that. I wish I didn't feel this way. I wish this didn't happen today. And let me explain why, okay? The love that we share with others is really sharing the love that we have received. Yet sometimes we stretch ourselves so thin that our wearied hearts forget that it feels like. We need to start filling up our cup with what God so graciously offers us every morning, every minute, and realize that God is enough to fill us. He is enough to strength for all that we need. But if we don't make time for God, nothing will change. We will continue to do it in our own strength with tired hearts that feel worn out. If you find yourself at times just worn out and weary and heavy-hearted, that's a good red flag for you girls. To go, I need to go get with God. I need to go read my Bible. I need to go pray. I need to go press in. I need to go lean in. I need to hear the voice of God because my heart is broken. My heart is weary. My heart is heavy. And I have nothing else to give the people in my world. And so let that be a red flag for you to lean in, to press into what God wants. Let's look at the life of Moses. Moses was an incredible man who had an incredible mission, an incredible call that God had given him to take the people of Israel out of Egypt as captives and slaves and to bring them into the promised land. Now, this seems like a really hard thing to do for Moses because along this journey, they were with God and then they weren't with God. They were with God, then they weren't with God. They were like just up and down, up and down, up and down. And God speaks to Moses. Turn with me to Exodus 33. And the Lord said to Moses, depart and go up here and the people whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt, the land in which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, to your descendants I will give you. And I will send my angel before you, and I will drive out the Canaanites, the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Go up to a land flowing with milk and honey, for I will not go up in your midst, lest I consume you on the way, for you are stiff-necked people. You think, whoa, God's just so loving. He's so wonderful. Listen, he knows how we are. And these people begin to not see the goodness of God. They begin to complain. They begin to make their own idols. They were wearing like gold and jewelry and putting all these things on them that were from other worlds and other gods and other things. And God sees this all. But he still says, I'm going to lead them to the promised land. What kind of God does that? Wouldn't he say, they've turned their backs on me. I don't want them to be a part. But he says to Moses, tell them to take off their ornaments so I do not, if you continue on, so I don't demolish them. So take off, strip those gods, strip those things you've worshipped so that I can bring you to the land. Moses is like, oh my goodness, God, I cannot do this without you. So what does Moses do? Let's skip down to verse 7. Moses took out his tent and pitched it outside the camp, far from the camp, and called it the tabernacle of meeting. He separated himself. He got out of the environment that he was surrounded in. He had to step away from the people. He had to hear the voice of God. He had to press in. He had to take time. He had to make time. You're going to have to make time in your world. You're going to have to say to the kids, to the parents, to the aunties and uncles, to the job, to the phone, turn off your stupid notifications. You don't need to be notified every time Candy Crush is doing something. If you don't know what that is, it's a game that just notifies you constantly of who's playing. It's annoying. Please do not send me requests for that. Okay. And we have to silence those things around us and press in and take time. The other day, we had had a birthday party for my son and did this camping thing with him. And I was really tired. And when I had gotten up in the morning, of course, the kids somehow know mom is breathing. And they, like, bing, mom's up. And I'm like, ugh. So I try and wake up really early so that I can have my time with God. And all of a sudden, it's like they can feel me. I don't know what happens. So all of a sudden, a little pitter-patter of feet are behind me. I'm like, and I'm like really frustrated. Like, God, I just wanted to be with you. I didn't want to be interrupted today. And God said, you tell them what you're doing and separate yourself. It's okay. Don't feel guilty that you're not, you know, watching them right now or taking care of them. They can eat their own breakfast chest. You've trained them well. I'm like, okay, yeah, you're right. Because we as moms feel guilty like we're not giving them enough time, especially if you're a working mom. Like every moment needs to be with the kids because just in case they don't, you know, I'm so stupid, right? We put these weights on ourselves that we don't need to live in. And God said, enough. It's better for your kids to see you separate yourself and read your word and take it seriously. That will speak more to them than anything you will say to them this morning. So I decided that I was going to go to a different spot. So I went outside thinking, good, they won't know I'm out here. And I went outside and they just all kept coming out. And I'm just like, go away. I'm trying so hard to be alone with God. And then when I finally did get alone and I went further out and further out, I just kept going further out. I got alone. And I was able to just hear God's voice clearly. I was able to just talk with him and not be distracted. Girls, you may have to drive up to the mountains by yourself. You may have to go to a beach and sit on it by yourself and say you went grocery shopping for 3 hours. Do what you need to do to go hear the voice of God and refresh your spirit, man. Because you will never be a good wife or a good mom or a good grandma or a good auntie if you are not pressing in and leaning in and making time for God to speak. You will never be what you need to be. Moses had to go and make time. And I'm not going to read it all for time's sake. But it was interesting what it said. It said, as Moses went to the tabernacle, that everybody in the village went outside of their doorway and watched him go to the tabernacle. Then a glory cloud came and sat at the doorway of the tabernacle. And at that moment, the Israelites realized, oh, we better praise God. And so they began to praise God. As Moses was praising God, they began to praise God. Who is your influence right now? When you make time for God, the people in your world will notice. And then they will be drawn to God as well. When you make time for God, you affect the people around you. And it's a beautiful thing. Everybody in the whole entire village and camp began praising God and began worshiping God because Moses took his time and separated himself. And when they saw that it worked and that it was good, they wanted it. It will be a contagious thing when you make room for God. When I did that day, I went back in and Micah started to tell me about the verses he had read in the Bible. And then Titus began to tell me what he read in the Bible. And I was like, you guys spent time with God today? And they were like, yeah, mom. And we did this and we read this. And I was like, oh my goodness. Me going and being alone and them seeing me do that, they did it themselves. They took the initiative. They went and found their Bibles. They went and read. You see, you'd never know who's watching you. You never know who's looking and seeing, oh, do they take time with God? Because you're going to be different when you're with God. You're going to be calmer. You're going to be able to handle things a little bit better. You're going to be able to not to judge so quickly. You're not going to be able to gossip so fast. You're going to be a better person and people will take notice. I love this story because as Moses went on, It says that him and God in the tabernacle, listen to this, talked face to face as a friend speaks to a friend. That's what I want with God. I want that face to face time with God. I want that intimate moment with God. I want to press in. I want to have those moments. And I don't know about you, but I seek for those moments because in those moments, it's like no matter what happens, everything's going to be okay. No matter what's going down, God's got it. And you see, that's what Moses needed. He needed to pitch his tent and he needed to press in. Sometimes you're going to have to pitch your tent and you're going to have to stake your ground and you're going to have to press in and you're going to have to fight because the enemy, if he can keep you busy and distracted and keep you away from the voice of God, it will get you off course. Do not allow your heart to get off course. Do not allow your heart. These are valley moments. These are maintenance moments for you. These are daily things for you. You have to make time for God because we live in valleys, ladies. But in our valleys will be beautiful things. And we will see the flourishing of God pour out on us if we allow God to make time in our hearts and in our lives and in our families' lives. Number two, something I have to remind myself of daily. When I say this, please understand, I don't always do this, okay? So I am learning and preaching to myself as much as I'm preaching to you, okay? Not only do we have to make time for God, but we have to speak faith. We have to. Because everything else is going to say opposite of what God says. Everything else will say opposite. You say, what does that mean? Well, look in the mirror. What is the first thing you say about yourself? That's not faith. Because I'm sure it's like, oh, look at my hair. It's so frizzy. Oh, look at my face. I broke out. Oh, look at, you pick yourselves apart. I'm too big. I'm too thin. I'm not enough. I don't have boobs. I mean, really, we really pick ourselves apart around here. And God says, would you knock it off? Faith doesn't sound like that. Faith says, I am wonderfully and I am fearfully made. I was created and formed by my Father God in heaven, and he loved me, and he gave me the color of hair that I have, and he knew what my body portions would be, and he knew that I would look like this so that I could have eyes to see and ears to hear and a heart to receive people and love them back to life so that I could be a full-time minister, and my outer appearance will be fading, but it's what's inside that matters. You see, girls, you're going to have to stir yourselves up and speak faith because the world around you will speak against you. You say, well, Pastor Jess, there's been tragedy in my heart and in my life. And I just, you know, it's just a constant thing for me. Let me say this. What did God first say to you when you began your journey? So many times we get through the middle of that journey and we're through life and we're in that rough marriage or we're in that sickness fighting that battle or we're in these financial burdens or we're just in something that is just hard to just live in. And God spoke something when we first started that journey, but we so easily forgot it. When God speaks, write it down. Because write it on your mirror in lipstick. Put it on your phone. So every time you put in your, God said that this is going to happen and this is going to happen. Remind yourself of the faith that God put in your heart when that journey began. Because he has a word, and his word is what we speak, not what we say and not what the world around us says. Remind yourself of this. Sometimes people aren't going to understand what God spoke to you. Sometimes you're going to say something and people are going to stare at you like you're crazy. What do you mean you're believing for that crazy husband of yours who, like, honestly, I don't think there's no hope for him. But God gave you a word. God said, no. You are his intercessor. You are the one that's going to be Jesus to him. And you knew that was your word. Then you know what? It doesn't matter what other people say. You stick to what God says and begin to speak life over that husband. And when he's laying in bed, you lay hands on him. And in the name of Jesus, he will serve you all the days of his life. And he will run after you, God, and his heart will seek you and find you. And Lord, that he would be miserable in his sin and that he'd run to the throne room of God. Lay hands, speak faith. You got a bad report. And oh, my favorite is, oh, I have cancer. No, what? No, you don't have cancer. You don't claim it. It's not yours. You have a big God who says that that cancer bows to the name of Jesus and that you can believe for the impossible. If he raised people from the dead, he can heal you of cancer. Listen, we have to get ourselves and stir ourselves back up. And you may have to be the only one that's cheerleading you on, but you do it, girlfriend. And you speak faith in that valley and you get in there and you press in and you don't let what the devil says be bigger than what your problem says. Listen, Brother Hagin, I love him. I had the pleasure of being under him, and this was a man of faith, man. And let me tell you, he knew a supernatural world more than I ever could even begin to breathe or understand. And he would say these two things, very simple. He'd say, believe it and speak it. That's faith. Believe it and speak it. Just believe it. Can God do it? Yes. Have you seen it in the Bible? Yes. Is he a respecter of persons? No. Then if you could find it in his word and you could believe God for it, believe it and then speak it out and let the devil know, remind him of what you're believing God for and what he cannot have and what he can't claim his territory in. You see, speak faith. Speak faith in your valley when you're weary and tired. Speak faith. Build yourself back up because you're going to need it. 2 Corinthians 4:7-11. It says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. You see, his excellence and his power is in him, not in us. This is not what we can do, but this is about what he can do. Our faith is our confidence in him to be able to do a good work in us and through us. We are hard pressed on every side, but yet we are not crushed. I love that. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Oh, come on. We are persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. Always caring about the body of the dying of our Lord Jesus Christ, we are full-time ministers of the gospel, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. What are you believing God for? Speak it. Get back in faith. Stir yourselves up. So make time for God and speak faith. Next one. You ready? Don't move until you're told. Sometimes we have these personalities. Some people don't have these personalities, but I know the people that just go and do it all themselves, and then they're completely frustrated when it didn't happen the way that it was supposed to happen. And then you say to them, well, did you get a word from God? Well, no. Wait, you didn't hear anything from God? Is this not the path God asked you to go to? No. Okay. Well, then Moses did not do that. Listen to what Moses did. Let's learn from Moses today. In Exodus 33:14, we're going to jump to this part of the story. Actually, I'm going to go to 12, okay? Then Moses said to the Lord, see that you say to me, bring up the people that you have not let me know that you will send me. Yet you have said, I know you by name, and you have also found grace in my sight. Moses is saying to God, I will do what you ask. But I need to know that you know my name and that I have found grace in your sight. You see, he didn't want to make a move without knowing that God approved. I don't want to make a move for this church or for my family or for anybody that I have, you know, influence over without knowing that I have God's back, knowing that he's on my side, knowing that this is not in our ability, girls. This is not what you can accomplish. You might be those people. I know people in my life that anything they put their hand to, it's excellent. Anything. And I always think that must be really scary, actually, because you think you're so good at everything, but then you fail in other areas because God ultimately is the one who does everything and gives us all of our giftings and gives us everything in our ability. And Moses knew that. He was very aware of the presence of God. And he said, I will not do this unless I know that you are backing me, God. I will not. In verse 13, now therefore I pray, I have found grace in your sight. Show me your way that I may know you, that I may find grace in your sight. And consider that the nation is your people. And verse 14 is God's response to him. And he said, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. I love that. And verse 15 says, then he said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. Verse 16, for how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except you go with us? So we shall separate the people and I from all the people who are upon the face of the earth. And verse 17, so the Lord said to Moses, I will also do the things that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name. It goes on. I mean, keep reading, because, well, we could preach on this. Moses says, show me your glory. I want to see your face. God says, you can't handle my face. I will hide you in the cleft of a rock, and you can see my back. I mean, what an incredible moment with God. I mean, seriously, I'm sure Moses was like, can you just take me to heaven? Like, I don't care about the people anymore. I just want to be with you. I mean, just to have that intimate relationship with God. He knew that he could do nothing without him, that he wasn't going to make a move without God. I'll tell you something. We have a lot of people in our ear saying, you need to do this and you need to do that with our new positions. This is how you need to do it. This is how it needs to be done. And this is, and you know, my husband, I have never understood him in 15 years, and now I completely understand him. He is the most stubborn man I have ever met in my whole life. You may not know that about Pastor Dan, but boy, can he dig his heels in deep, huh? He can dig his heels in deep. I mean, he cannot make the Cobra Rays move him, which is like, you are good. If they can sell ice to Eskimos. And he just digs his heels in like, no, no, no. And I have always been irritated by it. That has like been the one thing that I'm like, they did not talk about this in premarital counseling. And, but now I get it. God had that inside of him, because now when everybody's coming at him, telling him what he should do, what he should do, what he should do, what he should do, he says, no. And this is what he tells me constantly every day. I want to know what God wants me to do. They can all say what they want to say, but I have to hear from the voice of God. And he says this constantly. I'm not making a move until I hear God's voice. That may be hard for you. You may love your parents so much. I mean, I know I have a great relationship with my mom. My mom speaks. I'm like, yes, ma'am, I got this. But maybe sometimes you don't have that godly relationship with parents, but they're a big influence in your life and they're not giving you the right advice. Guard your heart. Who are you listening to? Maybe you have, you know, a boss at work and you just love them and you want to honor them, but they're not godly and they're telling you things that are just slightly break the rules, slightly do this, slightly do that. And it's breaking your blessing. It's hindering you from advancing. It's causing you actually to retreat in your favor. You see, we have to make a move when God says to make a move. You don't know what to do with your kids. I don't know what to do, God. What's going on in their hearts? What's happening here? Their personalities are changing. This is happening. God says, get alone with me. Speak faith over them. And then I will tell you what to do with them. You see, it's a process. And when we have that awesome relationship with God and we've spent time with him, we can then speak faith over our situation. Then when it comes, we can move when God says to move. Just like Moses, God said, move, Moses. It's time to move into the promised land. And God, Moses was able to move. You see, we will not and should not allow ourselves to make any moves until we've heard the voice of God. But this does not give us permission to be lazy. This does not give us permission to not be productive. Okay? That means that we continue to work until we hear the voice of God. And you say, what about knocking, seeking? Absolutely start knocking on some doors. Doesn't mean that you're like stupid and you're, okay, I'm just going to sit here and wait for God to tell me. Maybe God is saying, knock on that door, see what happens. Knock on that door, see what happens. Knock on that door, see what happens. Move. But move with his guidance. God, is it okay for me to knock on this door? Yeah, knock on that door, daughter. Let's see what happens. Okay, knock on that door. Oh, see, that door was shut. Good, okay. I have something better for you. I have something better for you. I sat with a friend probably 3 years ago, and I remember we were sitting in this restaurant, and he and his wife were just devastated. Everything that they had put all of their money into, everything that they had, their life's work went into this special project that they were doing for God. And it was literally stolen from them. Somebody took it all. And legally, they had no right to it. It was just really actually a bizarre situation. And I remember sitting there going, what do I know? I don't even understand this industry. He's a singer. So he had an album and somebody stole it from him. And I remember thinking, what kind of advice am I going to give him? I don't know. You know, like, geez, God. And God said, just pray because my hand's in this. And that door was slammed shut. I mean, slammed shut. And in that season of their life, a lot of things were slammed shut. And their hearts were heavy and broken. And I remember being in that restaurant, we just prayed. And we said, God, what do you have? God, we ask that you would unlock new things for them. Lord, that you begin to show them new visions and new paths and new ways. We prayed that prayer 3 years ago. Just a few days ago, his new video came out. He is one of the hottest T-Bone. Okay, that's T-Bone. And he is the number one recording artist in all of Latin America. He has 90,000 people at his concerts. 90,000 people. And he does altar calls and thousands are getting saved. It wasn't here in America God needed him. It was where his roots were. It was where God put his favor on him. You see, he changed his whole CD. That CD went from, you know, rap and all the other things he was doing to more worship and to more singing. God changed the heart of his CD. You see, we do not understand what God is doing. But when we trust him in those closed doors and we don't make moves we don't need to take, God blesses our hand and he blesses us. And I'll tell you, God is not a respecter of persons. He's waiting for you and he has a plan for you. He knew you in your mother's womb. Every step is ordained by God. But if you call on the name of Jesus in your time, he will answer and he will meet you there. Last one, rest in your valley. Sometimes we're exhausted. Because we are on that rat race. Remember, we're on that wheel. Just going, 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 going. I'm so tired and I don't know why. And I want everybody to feel bad for me. You ever do that? You know, I just cleaned. I do that sometimes. And so just forgive me if you're in my world and I say that to you. I just cleaned this whole house. I made 3 meals today. Just leave me alone. It's like 10 o'clock. Just leave me alone. You know, I mean, it's just too much. Like, go away, everybody. I don't like you now that I've served you all day long. Do you ever feel that way? Or is it Jess, unholy Pastor Jess? And I just believe that God knows that about us. And so he promised us rest. Let's go back to Exodus 33, verse 14. Let's remember what God said. My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. When you are not at peace, when you are stirred up and when chaos is surrounding you, you are not in the presence of God. That is always a red flag for you. Okay? Another red flag. You ready? Write the red flags down because they're coming. When there's chaos and confusion in your world, in conversations, in relationships, it's the enemy's plan. It's a divisive spirit. It's demonic activity. And honestly, you need to start praying in tongues. You need to get your sword out. You need to start praying over that situation. Because when you are in the presence of God, there's still peace. You're able to get through those awkward moments and it doesn't have to be chaotic and totally out of control. When you are in an out of control situation, you need to bring Jesus back into the center of it because he's the one who causes us to rest. Listen, don't miss really great moments in your valleys because you're caught up in worrying about the mess. I'll use a practical thing. Your house is messy. Your house is totally tore up, but the kids are like, mommy, 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 can you play this board game with me? And you're like, no, I have to clean this whole house that you just messed up. You just missed out on a moment. You just missed out on spending time with the kids. You just missed out on building them up and showing them that they're more important than a mess around them. Because that stupid little practical thing will speak volumes to them one day when their spiritual warfare comes their way. And they can stay focused on what God needs them to do and find God in the middle of the mess. You see, our valleys need to not be places of confusion and chaos, but rest and beauty. Stop and smell the roses, girls. I give you permission to go and take a deep breath and to rest, okay? If your husbands are like, why didn't dinner get on the table today? Well, Pastor Jess gave me permission to go stop and smell the roses today. So I bought you In-N-Out. Listen, we can put pressures on ourselves and God says, you do that, I don't. I never asked all that of you, you did. So sit in my rest and know that I am God and know that I'm good and then I'm going to answer you. Hebrews 4:9 says, there remains therefore a rest for the people of God. Are we the people and the daughters of God? Well, then there remains a rest for us, all right? And while we are resting, it doesn't mean we stop working. You know that you can be in the middle of working really hard, but just be at joy. Have you ever just had those moments like, it was a great, productive day. Like, it was awesome. And I don't feel like exhausted. And I feel like it was a great day. And I conquered the world. And I loved my kids. And I did my job well. And I'm laying my head on my pillow. And I'm loving my husband. And I'm moving on with the next day. It was a good day. And you know what? I believe God wants those days to be more and not few in between. Those need to be our normals. Those need to be our new valleys. Because it's all about our perspective. It's all about understanding that our work, we can have our rest in our work. We can be confident and at peace with God in those times of work. Philippians 1, 6 in the Amplified. I love the Amplified. Marie said it was the woman's version of the Bible. Absolutely. Hallelujah. And it says in Philippians 1, 6, I am convinced and I am confident of this, the very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you, continue to perfect and complete it until the day Christ Jesus in the time of his return. Listen, his job is not done in you. But in this valley and in the process of being there, let's do it well. Let's find the flowers in the valley. Let's sit by the streams and enjoy God's goodness. Let's believe God for the impossible and speak faith. Let's make time for God, ladies. And let's love each other back to life.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.